Well, hi there. Welcome again. Thanks for joining me for another verse-by-verse installment of God's Word. Hey, my name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we're the owners and the operators of the hand car washing business in Church Hill called The Wash and Word. And we call it The Wash and Word because there we do our hand car washes, and we deliver the Word of God. This is a business ministry that is supported by the money that we earn washing your cars. We don't ask for charity or tithings or offerings or gifts. We accept tips. But other than that, we just ask if you would like verse-by-verse Bible teaching, if you are of the same mind as myself that believe that the whole counsel of God's Word is something the Church of Christ needs vitally today. If you believe that verse-by-verse Bible messages should continue, just come by. Let us earn the money to keep this ministry alive. That being said, we'll get back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. Did I say verse-by-verse Bible teaching at least five times so far? Sure sounds like I have. We are in the book of Ecclesiastes. We are working our way through chapter 9. We finished verses 9 through 12 over the last four or five messages. And also just a reminder, if you ever want to just drive by the parking lot here, we're playing our sermons 24/7 now. And all you have to do is turn to 107.1 FM in the parking lot. So if you're waiting for your significant other to shop at the antique store, you're eating your pals, or you're a Pizza Plus, you can just tune on to 107.1, and these messages play on a loop 24/7 each week. All right, let's pick it up in verse 13. We ended by focusing ourselves on a life that is fulfilling to ourselves, and more importantly, pleasing to God. And Solomon has switched his attention from death and government to wisdom. And that's where we're at now. We're talking about wisdom. And we left off saying that natural gifts are God-given and they're helpful, but they can fail you. And this is why we rely upon the spiritual gifts. We work in conjunction with our natural gifts, along with the gifts that the Spirit gives us. And this is how we move in a direction that is not futile. This is how we make plans that God ordains and doesn't laugh at. And we read in Proverbs 69 that in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. So to plan a course that is pleasing to God requires a certain type of wisdom. And that's what we're going to look at here. So let's take a look at verse 13 and through 16, verse chapter 9. Solomon continues here. He says, I also saw under the sun. I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it. And a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built a huge siege works against it. Now there lived in the city a man, poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. All right, that's verses 13 through 16. Let's stop right there and take a second to analyze this story that Solomon has gave us here. We have to assume that it was a true story, that he saw came upon a small village that was overtaken by a larger force, but a poor man's wisdom apparently defeated this army. But the end result, as Solomon comments on, is that a poor man's wisdom is despised. I want to talk about that. You see, this poor man's wisdom was forgotten, despised, rejected by the world. And don't let that surprise you, because in a hedonistic society, which is what we live in, true godly wisdom is a pine needle fire. I'm going to repeat it, and then I'll explain what I mean. In a hedonistic society, true godly wisdom is a pine needle fire. You see, it works like this. When a person in the wisdom and strength of God comes against all odds, and there is a victory, and the people rejoice. Think David and Goliath, or Gideon and the 300. Think Jesus and the cross. When a person of wisdom and strength of God comes up against all odds, and there is victory, and the people rejoice, and even though that wisdom and strength of God achieved the victory, the world won't recognize it tomorrow. The world will forget it as quickly as it came on the scene. Just like a pine needle fire burns hot and it burns fast and it creates heat and light, but within seconds it burns out. And that's what happens with godly wisdom and godly victory in a hedonistic society. Now, that being said, that same wisdom applied to a godly situation in a godly society, well, then it is truly praised and it is exalted and it is edified, and that is used to bring glory to God. I always remember shortly after 9/11 when President Bush, you know, a professed Christian, and he admitted, and it seemed that he was trusting in God's wisdom and in God's strength. And the things that he had said shortly after 9/11, at the time, he was kind of my hero for a little while there. And you can say what you want about his 8-year administration. On that day, when he addressed the nation and he called evil, evil, and he acknowledged God and he called sin a sin, and he said he was going to trust God. On that day, in my opinion, he was one of the greatest presidents in my lifetime, at least for that day. But just like godly wisdom, it is so quickly forgotten. It burns like pine needles. Godly wisdom can be hot and powerful and brilliant and can do great and horrible and damaging things, but like a fire, you know? But it fades out just as quick. Why? Why doesn't the world want to hold on to godly strength and godly wisdom, especially when it produces a societal gain? Let me tell you something about godly wisdom. Godly wisdom is always right, always the best solution, and always victorious. I'm going to say that again. Godly wisdom is always right, always the best solution, and always victorious. But it is also one other thing. Godly wisdom is also very unpopular among the masses. People are unwilling to acknowledge that God's ways are not only higher, but they are better, that they are stronger, that they are more powerful, more effective, more sustaining. And in their unwillingness to acknowledge that, it leads to their own detriment and their own destruction. 2 Peter 3:15 through 17 says this: "Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking them of these matters." His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Now listen, Peter says, "which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction." So a lack or an unwillingness to acknowledge the greatness of God, the power of his wisdom, the accomplishments that godly wisdom can do, only leads to the detriment and destruction of the ignorant. Do not be surprised when you hear of these things, my brothers and sisters. People distort the scriptures, and all it does is make their life miserable, leading only to destruction. Brothers and sisters, we have to remember today that the world will never applaud the basic truths of the Christian faith because Christianity judges the world. Christianity points out its errors, and Christianity exposes its illusions. And when it does applaud a Christian movement, a godly work, a godly wisdom, it will burn like pine needles and be gone just as fast as the accolades were brought on. So, an excellent story by Solomon there. Let's move on to verse 17. He continues, "The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools." I like that one. Let's read it again. "The quiet words of the wise man..." Let's read it a third time with something I like to call the right way. "The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools." Think about a loud dictator or someone that's ruling over some kind of insurrection or a mob of people, and you know they're yelling and the crowd is getting fired up. They're responding with affirmative fervor. You know, think about how some pastors or some preachers preach in such a way that it just forces, you know, it's like a giant cheerleading session. A loud person, or as Solomon puts it, the shouts of a ruler of fools, someone in a position of leadership who is shouting and yelling and inciting the people. Well, those that are around, they roar, and the leader feeds off of that, and then they get delivered more spoon-fed propaganda. It's a trap that continues to revolve back and forth. Oh, people love to hear the loud one, while that quiet voice of truth and wisdom is just simply drowned out. You don't have to say anything that makes sense as long as you're shouting it. You don't have to say something that's going to make a difference as long as it's louder than the truth. And you don't even have to tell the truth as long as you're being more vocal than the truth below you. Huh, I've seen it. You've seen it. This image happens all over the world. Remember the tortoise and the hare story, the lesson learned from that. Well, think about truth as the tortoise. You know, truth will continue to push on. Maybe it's not going to go with the speed or the fireworks or the attention or the general acceptance that, lies and propaganda and just these boisterous claims, mostly false. Sure, it's not going to go as fast, but it's going to prod on. And as wisdom and as truth continues to push through like the tortoise, it will eventually win the race. Listen to this scripture, and we'll close with this. Matthew 11:12. "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it." Now that sounds like a violent type of a offensive scripture, and in a way it kind of is. I'll read it again. This is Jesus now. "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it." What is Jesus saying there? He's saying that the truth isn't going to stop. It's going to prod and push its way through. It may be slow. It may have to go through a lot of stuff, but it has the power to keep moving. And it's the men who push with it, who go with it, regardless of what's closing in around them, regardless of what's pushing back against them. It's the men and women that hold on to the truth and prod through history and through the future with the truth, pushing behind it forcefully, as Jesus says, advancing the kingdom of heaven. It's those people who are bringing it forth. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling an anointing with this scripture today, and I hope it really affects your life. I mean, this is what we're doing here. We're doing verse by verse Bible teachings because it's God's word. It's going to change your life, friends. So go back to God's word. Come back to the washing word. Come to the parking lot. Go to the website washingword.com. Listen to WMCH at 8:30 a.m. Monday through Friday, 1260 a.m. radio. to hear these. Also, you can come by and hear me preach these messages live on Sunday night at 6 o'clock at Assembly Abundant Life Church. Have a blessed day.